the 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Dr. Kahn, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
In your view, what is the most significant thing that can happen this week at the AIDS Conference?
Well, the most significant thing is already happening. This is the gathering of 25,000 people from more than 150 countries coming together to discuss all the different phases of the epidemic. And this itself is a big achievement. Well, if you ask me, in the different tracks, you will find several interesting data. For instance, in the clinical field, you will find information regarding new drugs, for instance, the integrase inhibitors, new strategies, like simplifying therapies by using more therapy, absolutely new compounds coming from the very, very early phase one, and different issues regarding treatment for co-infections, the immune reconstitution inflammatory syndrome, the issue of perinatal transmission and how to deal with different cultures in which it's not a matter of sitting in a desk and say, hey, you should just stop your practice of breastfeeding. No, you have to cope that mothers in different parts of the world will still breastfeed, and you should find solutions for that situation. So, and then we also have a very, very important meetings during the week in which policymakers, and some of them high-ranked policymakers, are gathering here in order to discuss how to improve our response. You know that the theme of our conference is time to deliver.
I've asked almost every person I've interviewed from the IAS, what does that mean to you?
What does
because
it mean
you could
me?
Read a lot of different things into it.
Yeah, I can tell you what my take is from time to deliver. In my view, all the beautiful words have already been said and written. So the theory about how to confront AIDS is almost done. Let's go into practice, because guess what? Every single day, 11 to 12,000 people are getting HIV, a preventable disease. Every year, 2 million people are dying because of HIV/AIDS, a treatable disease. So let's stop talking and start doing, start delivering. And we need a commitment, and you know, there are some written compromises. For instance, by the G8, in 2010, we should be achieving different goals, etc. But how can you do it if the money is not there, if you're using the money for other non-priority issues like wars, etc., etc.? So we need to be concrete. We need to confront the epidemic. We need $23 billion in order to do it. If we don't have the money, we will never make it, because you have a lot of countries in which they will never be able to deliver antiretroviral therapy without the help of the international community. So it's a multifactorial issue.
You talk about individual countries' needs, and you, of course, your home country is Argentina.
Yeah.
There was a recent article in Science magazine about AIDS in Latin America and the Caribbean.
John Cohen, yeah.
Exactly. And there was one article specifically on Argentina, and he writes that Argentina finds itself with rich country expectations, but poor country limitations. What does that mean to you?
Well, let me describe Argentina as I see it. Argentina is not a poor country. Argentina is a potentially rich country. But the problem in Argentina is not poverty in general, but the problem in Argentina is the wealth distribution. So if you look at what happens with wealth distribution, that 10% of the population, that is the poorest one, is only having 20% of overall the national income. The richest 10% has almost 40%.
So, and so what does that do to the concept, for example, of universal access?
Well, it's, you know, in a country like mine, which is a so-called a middle-income country, you will find that, for instance, universal access is guaranteed. That means, if you come to my hospital and you are tested and you are HIV positive, you will get the medicines for free. But let's say that you start taking your medicines and you get diarrhea. So you say, hey doctor, I've got diarrhea. So I prescribe you a compound like loperamide to stop your diarrhea. You don't get it for free. You have to buy it. So you may get, let's say, T20. That's a very expensive drug, but you won't get aspirin for free. So this is the uneven situation that you can see. Some programs are protective, like HIV, but restricted to HIV medicines and opportunistic infection medicines.
But you're quoted in this article as saying there have been occasions where your clinic has been without the AIDS drugs that you need.
This is different. Sometimes bureaucracy works in a way that it doesn't deliver timely what you need. But the main problem is not that, because this happens occasionally. I would say seldom. The point is, I describe the situation: if you are coming to my clinic, you will receive the drugs for free. But what happens if you don't come? So our system is best described, and I think this applies to several countries in Latin America, as an open doors system. You come in, you're welcome, you will be treated. If you don't come, then the system works as Darwinian, selecting out the most fit. And who are the most fit? People that have money to come to the hospital as many times as needed, people that can lose a day of work because they need to come to the hospital and they can afford not going to work for a day, mothers that have somebody to take care for their children so they can come to the hospital, or even worse, people that are healthy enough to queue at the hospital until they get attention. So if we don't change the system, and if we don't go outside the hospital to look for the patients, to proactively search for HIV-positive patients, we will continue having a nice number of patients on treatment with the most contemporary drugs and almost all the drugs, the same drugs that you have in the U.S. or in Europe, we do have it in Argentina.
Yes.
But the problem is we are only targeting a small proportion of the patients in need.
Well, how many people do you suspect or know? How many people do you suspect do not know they are HIV positive?
Well,
in Argentina,
yeah, all the calculations for Argentina are around 150,000 people living with HIV. Okay.
Okay.
Out of them, we have 30,000 people on treatment. That means 20%. Usually, even using the WHO guidelines, you would need to have almost 60% of the population on treatment. That means that for every single patient we do have in treatment, there are other two that should be on treatment, but they are not. So the point is, how do we deal with this? We need more prevention campaigns. We need to promote voluntary counseling and testing. We need to outreach the community in order to get more people involved in their own health for their own benefit. So if you're tested timely, you can help us to stop in some way or to reduce the pace of the epidemic, and at the same time, you can be eligible for the treatment programs that we do have. It's not the situation of other countries in the region like Bolivia or Haiti, in which you are really in a very difficult situation.
So then what's your prognosis for what the epidemic in Argentina will look like 5 years from now?
I can tell you, just in 1988, we diagnosed the first case in a woman. So at that time, for one case in a female, you had 20 cases in males. Today, the new HIV infections rate is almost 1.9 to 1. So it's becoming more and more a heterosexual population following the pattern of feminization of the epidemic. And so being a country that provides full coverage for antiretroviral therapy, we still have kids that are born with HIV. And this is because the pregnant women are not taken care of as they should be. Not the HIV-positive pregnant women, the pregnant women at all. This doesn't happen in my hospital. I can tell you, my hospital is a reference center. In the last 5 years, no newborn was HIV-positive. But does it speak about the overall Argentina? It does not. You don't need to travel to the far south or to the far north. It's a very large country. Just go 10 miles outside my hospital, and you will find hospitals in which almost 0.5, 0.6, 0.7% of the mothers are HIV positive. And many of them, they have no consultation during the, or no clinical visits during their pregnancy. So they just show up, and you perform a rapid test, and they show up as positive in the first consultation, but this is the time of delivery. So
2 years from now, everything you've just talked about is going to be in the spotlight, because the next AIDS conference will be in Mexico.
That's right.
Mexico City. And you're the incoming president of the International AIDS Society.
So they say.
So it will be on you, Dr. Khan. What do you want to see that conference to be about?
Well, first of all, I think that after this extremely successful conference, I can forecast this conference will be extremely successful, not only in terms of quantity, but also in terms of quality. The quality of science in this conference will be really the best one we ever had. I think we should use this high bar to be our bottom line for the next conference. So we need also quantity, but we need quality. But in order to make a difference in the region, I think that the conference of August 2008 in Mexico should start next week. What do I mean by that? We need to ignite in some way the awareness about HIV, using the conference as an excuse, but going and we are planning to visit, if possible, every single country in Latin America before the conference, going with the, you know, like the Olympic flame, going country by country and say, hey, we are going to Mexico in 2008. What are you doing from now to August 2008 in order to show the improvement of the situation regarding HIV/AIDS suffering in your country? We really try to make a difference in the region with that.
Well, good luck then, and good luck this week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.